I'm Susan Atkin-Campbell, Chair of Friends of Troopers Hill.
Susan, you're first. Are you okay with that, out of the Friends of Troopers Hill?
I'm very comfortable with that, yeah.
And you all are actually friends. It's not just friends in name, can't stand each other in nature. You all actually like each other, don't you?
We all get on very well. We all share coffees and teas together and something a little bit stronger on occasion.
Well, I've enjoyed my jasmine tea. I tell you, it's taken me off somewhere very exotic. But then again, Troopers Hill is exotic, or at least absolutely fabulous. And you've got to start with a view. We've just discussed it. And we're in your back garden, which is fabulous. But I'm not sort of shirking out. I know we could be on the top, but as you can hear, the wind is pretty bad. And up there, my microphone would be susceptible to some damage, wouldn't it, Susan?
It certainly would. About the only time of year there isn't a wind on Troopers Hill is when we organise a kite flying festival. And we tried that 2 years on the trot. And it's fantastic that there's lots of kids around with a heck of a lot of energy, because they were able to make their kites fly. But if they hadn't run, they wouldn't have flown.
So there we are, the infamous tower at the top. You better just take us through the history of that, first of all.
Right. Well, that is a listed chimney. It was part of the copper smelting industry. A local author, Joan Day, who's very knowledgeable about the copper industry, thinks it was built around the 1790s. And there is pictorial evidence of it being there in the 1820s in the Breckenridge collection of sketches. A view was taken of Arnisdale Court. And you can see the Troopers Hill chimney sitting there on top of the hill. So this is a horrible, stinky, smelly, smoky place in the late 1700s and early 1800s, with up to 40 copper smelting furnaces all along Crewe's Hole. And then one of the furnaces had a duct going up the side of the hill to this massive chimney. And that produced a fantastic draw of air. So you've got the really high temperatures, so you could melt this copper ore to produce the copper that was then used in the brass works at Warmley. And that, of course, was all part of the slave trade, with brass being used in exchange for slaves, and all part of the history of Bristol.
That's what I love. People don't consider all that history, maybe when they're walking their dog up there or holding hands and having a little lover's walk, but that's all right.
Yeah.
You know, some people are knowledgeable about this big lump in front of us, and some aren't, and that's your job, I suppose, to make us all interested.
Absolutely, that's what Friends of Troopers Hill is all about. What we try and do is do things to maintain and help the hill, particularly tasks that you couldn't pay people to do, and try and involve people in the care of Troopers Hill. So we have events as well. So every month we have a work party, just for 2 hours on the first Saturday of every month. We meet on the corner of Greendown and Troopers Hill Road. And we do things like cutting bramble, repairing steps, and we work with the council. So we actually have a park keeper who works on Troopers Hill, who is absolutely great. And he tells us work that he's planning to do, so we can do something to help. So where he's doing a bit of bracken bashing, so bracken is a bad thing on Troopers Hill.
Lovely term, isn't it? Bracken bashing.
Yes. We'll go up and finish off pulling up the bits of bracken that are coming up between the heather, because he can't go in and cut back heather, because that's one of the important plants on the hill. One of the spectacular things about Troopers Hill is you get the gorgeous glow of the colour purple in August and July, when the heather comes into bloom, and then other times of year you've got a wonderful colour of yellow, so that's more May time, when the broom is in flower. And if you come out in August, you can hear little tiny pops going off all over the hill as the broom seed pods are popping and spraying their seeds everywhere.
Oh, wow.
So that's two of the important plants on Troopers Hill. It's a little island, a really special kind of ecology. It's acid heathland, which you don't get anywhere else in Bristol, and particularly not in this size. And it leads to a very special habitat. So we've got unusual insects that are obviously food for birds, but they produce an interesting ecosystem. And we have a very rare bees here. We've got a very boring little black fly with only a wingspan of 1.8
millimetres. You say boring. I don't think there is a boring creature, to be honest.
Well, this
undervalued, understated.
Absolutely. Well, this particular little fly hasn't been found anywhere else in the UK. It's well known in Europe, but hasn't been found anywhere else in the UK. So,
do you know its name?
Oh, not off the top of my head. No.
Call it the Troopers Hill fly, and if it's been found in Europe elsewhere.
No, we can't. On the bee side, the name of the bee that was found, second name was Gutulata. I remembered that. And there's a nice big black furry spider that lives amongst the plaster around the hill, around the render of the chimney, you'll sometimes find a big black hairy spider in there. His second name is Florentina.
Arachnophobes beware. I love your spider impression there, Susan, by the way. You've got to close your eyes and jump forward in your two furry legs. And just looking at the views down there, and I was asking you where we're going there. We're going towards St. Anne's, the Board Mills, and Crews Hole Road, and you've got the Barton Hill Tower blocks. It just shows what a lovely green mass it is in the middle of town, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. And those colours are reflected in all the plants that you find here. And it's interesting, even going down to microscopic level. We're going to have a walk on Sunday the 6th of December.
Everyone welcome.
Everybody welcome. Please do phone and book your place, though, so we don't end up with too many people. My number is 0117 947 5037. And it's a walk about mosses and lichens, led by the expert Justin Smith, who's led previous walks on the hill about fungi. And the mosses and lichens are just amazing, all the different colours, the way they bloom, and how they reproduce and what eats them and their uses. Will be absolutely fascinating to hear Justin talk about them.
And I know one of our other guests to come is saying, for all your householders around here, it's a challenge to know what to do in your gardens often, because it's all the rock underneath. You go down a centimetre or two and that's it, you're not going down any further.
That's absolutely true. Troopers Hill is basically a huge mound of Pennant sandstone. It was quarried for Pennant sandstone in
it was highly desirable, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Local churches have built of Pennant sandstone, and some old houses use Pennant sandstone. And the chimney itself is made from Pennant sandstone. And underneath the hill, there are remains of mines. There was coal mining going on underneath the hill, and fire clay mining. That all finished around the 1813s, I believe. And has all been capped off, I'm pleased to say.
That's my next question. There's a runner doing a few hundred laps.
Yep. And there's a square chimney at the bottom of the hill, which it was used as the pump house for the coal mine. So we've still got the remnants of the coal mining history on Troopers Hill as well.
And we've got to say then, you've got to say, the council has done very well here. Because we all like to bash the council, and often they deserve it, but they really sort of supported you and done what they said they were going to.
They certainly have. We only started thanks to the council. There was a local nature reserves officer called Sally Oldfield, who worked for the Parks Department. And she started off by sending a questionnaire to local people saying, what do you like about Troopers Hill? What do you dislike about Troopers Hill? And it was very sneaky, actually. And so those of us who returned the questionnaire then had an invitation to come and talk about the future of Troopers Hill. And that's good, because that makes you worry, doesn't it? And the end of that was we decided what Troopers Hill needed was a group of local residents who are interested in Troopers Hill and wanted to help look after it, help get other people interested in it, attract money to it where money was actually needed. And it went on from there. It started off really, we organised a litter picking session, and then went off on to hiring people to lead walks with knowledge about aspects of the hill, from birds to plant life. We started on the regular work parties, paid for surveys of the hill, and we've been really fortunate, and the council has worked really well with us. The hill was awarded a green flag, and we've now had that for 3 years.
Why are you waving it today then, Susan? Why is it stuck on top of the chimney?
Well, actually, part of that was consultation with local people. Local people
didn't want
it on the chimney, and I think having a flag on a listed structure might have been a bit of a problem. And we actually, the council actually had to put in a planning application to put up the flag. It was put up at Greendown, and it waves very well, displaying, it shows very well, waving in the wind up at the Greendown entrance.
Yeah, I better slap them away today. I better slap them away. So matched only by the Durden Downs and Abbotsley, is that right?
Abbotsley's outside Bristol, so Abbotsley...
It's just the Downs to rival Troopers Hill.
So it's only Clifton Downs that has got had a green flag for 3 years like us. But other sites have won them during the last 3 years. So Queen Square has had a green flag for 2 years now. And I'm trying to think of any other sites. Blaise Castle, of course, got it 2 years ago as well. So that was really good.
You hold those and dive in there. Three of these, we'll find out.
One, two, three.
A bit more about you on the Troopers Hill bingo balls.
Yep.
What have you got?
I have got, oops, I had exploding glasses last week, so I'm on an old prescription. 18.
What happened to your glasses?
There I was, sitting in a restaurant, and there was a ping, and my glasses are the type that you have a half frame over the top, and stuff like nylon fishing wire, fishing line underneath, and in the fishing line bit just went ping, and the lens fell out, so...
It must have been a bit shocking.
It was.
Does it happen regularly? I don't wear them.
Never ever happened before. It was a major shock. I was very surprised. Oh dear, the other one's 33.
Right, 18 first.
18 first.
Your first job and pay packet, what do you remember?
My first
job... Have you always lived around here?
No. At the time I took my first job, the holiday jobs count?
Of course they do, yeah.
Yeah. Well, my first job was at the end of my sixth form, I think. Yes, sixth form. And I was living in a little village called Bowbrickle on the outskirts of Milton Keynes. And through a friend who had an auntie, I got a job at an outfit called Stirling Foundries in their clerical department in Bedford. So I would get on the little Bedford flyer, a little train every day, to earn £20 a week. And £1.10 was taken off in national insurance. And I think my fares probably came to a couple of quid every week as well. And in the clerical department, obviously, first job, put my head down, worked really hard, and was told by other staff that I was working too hard and getting through the work too quickly and showing them up. So I was banned to the IT department area for one day a week just to sit there and split up the old-fashioned paper that was perforated for sending out invoices to customers.
33. A book you've read more than once, Susan.
Oh, I've read so many books more than once. Oh, let's see. Gosh, choices. Well, a recent one I read, which has got a connection with Bristol in a way, was Checkerboard by Neville Shute. Set in the Second World War, and it's about a gentleman who finds he's got cancer and is dying, and he decides he wants to find out what happened to three other people who were in a hospital ward with him when he was involved in an air crash. This is actually taking place after the Second World War, and he tracks them all down because at the time he'd just been court-martialed for a crime to do with fiddling petrol and other things. And it was really good how he tracked down the various people who'd been in trouble at the time and the success they'd made of their lives. And the story takes you to Burma, but the particular link with Bristol that was interesting, there was a black American soldier in the same hospital ward at him who was recovering from a knife wound to his throat. And in the story, this soldier had been wrongly accused of attempted rape and had been chased and imagined he was going to be lynched. And so had hidden in an air raid shelter and attempted to cut his throat. The link to Bristol on that was not long ago. There was an article in the Evening Post about troubles between black American soldiers and white American soldiers in Bristol. And the book is a true reflection at the time. There were apparently a number of incidents where you had American soldiers coming over. The black soldiers were accepted by the UK population as being people here coming over here doing their bit. White soldiers would come over from the States, often from the southern states, and not at all appreciated the fact that black soldiers were here going out with English girls and caused all sorts of problems. Yeah. And apparently in Park Street, there were incidents of white soldiers actually trying to shoot black soldiers in the back out. It sounded absolutely horrific.
Great answer, Susan. Checkerboard.
Checkerboard, Neville Shute. Yeah.
Neville Shute, thank you. And finally, 44. Immigration.
I think immigration is absolutely great for us. We get a lot of highly qualified people who come over here. Some people come over for training and actually stay and use the training here. And I see a lot of good coming out of immigration. The problem is there's another perception by other people that jobs are lost to immigrants. But think of all the people who are here doing well, paying their taxes, and helping to support those of us in society who aren't able to work. So from my point of view, I think immigration is great, and also I think it is something that is a rich country, and anybody who says we're not rich, hasn't lived anywhere with poverty problems, as a rich country, I think we should be in a situation where people are in trouble, are in a country where their life is at risk, that they can escape to here and be helped. If England was invaded, wouldn't we like it that we could escape across the channel and be helped to set up a home, get some education in the local language, and be able then to become contributing members of society? Until I feel quite strongly about that.
A pleasure, Susan. Thank you ever so much. Who should we pick on next?
Oh, how about Pete?
Pete, it is.
They respect it a far great deal more now than they used to. Yes, yeah, it used to be an awful lot of rubbish on there, but people tend not to throw so much about now. In the summer, there are a group of Polish people. Fairly young people, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s. And they use the hill for barbecues quite regularly on weekends. But you always find that they put all their rubbish, their bottles, their boxes, all in one carton and place it in the corner by one of the dog boxes so that litter people can take everything away. And that's generally the way it's going.
What's your favourite bit?
My favourite bit is the walk from my side where I live on the far corner up across and down to the woods. I take my grandson and grandchildren down there. They go through the field, down through the woods, and back along and up to Sally's Glade. And that's my favourite walk. My grandson, who lives in Bristol, is Max.
He's Max, because he loves the logs in the new play area,
does
doesn't he?
He loves the logs.
Do you love the logs as well?
I think it's excellent.
You have a climb on the logs, yeah?
I do, yes. Oh, yeah.
You seem quite sprightly still. You give Max a run for his money.
I try. I try. But not really. He can lose me now.
It's nice, isn't it, to have such a lovely sight, you know, pretty much in the not the centre of Bristol, but still, look, you can see the tower blocks of Barton Hill. You're not a million miles away,
that's
are
right.
you?
No, I was born in Barton Hill.
Were you?
In that area, yeah, years ago. One of the other things that really fascinates me on Troopers Hill is in the winter when there's snow, you get hundreds of kids around with their sledges, their toboggans, pieces of cardboard sliding from top to bottom, which is great. I could sit in my lounge and watch them do this. It's just lovely. And in the summer,
you've got the balloons, haven't you? You've got the balloons.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, there's always a good crowd of people up on the top to watch the balloons. And if they blow from Bristol to Bath, they follow the line of the river up. Yeah, it's a good display. A good show.
Two stories I want you to tell me, which you touched upon in a little preamble. Speedwell Fire Station, we were down there with the bingo balls the other week, and they used to use Troopers Hill for it.
Yes, when we first moved here, on occasions, they would come over and start a fire on the grass on the flat side, which you can't actually see from here, the other side of the tump, and then do a shout for their men to come out and put it out, like a training area. Yeah, they did that. Maybe after different times they used to come out and do that, yeah.
And it was pretty quick. They put
not at all. It would be quite fascinating to watch them work.
And the other thing is, which I never knew, let's go back to, what was it, the late 60s, early 70s, Temple Way Underpass and all that, Old Market.
Yes. They used all the infill. They took out all the rubble and stuff like that and used it on the flat hill over the back, which is now called the field. And they built that field up, which was a tip originally. They built that level up and into a nice place. And that's where the log show and the kiddies park area is going in now. Yeah. Quite a lot of spoil came up from town into that tip.
Your favourite creature that you might encounter up there, is it a Labrador or is it that boring black fly that we were talking about earlier?
No,
or the bees or
no,
what?
I'm not really into that sort of thing. I do take my daughter's dog up there, and there's quite a few people walk their dogs over there on a regular basis. And it's nice to follow the walk goes there across the field and down through the woods with the dog. The dogs up there are the best. That's what I like. Plenty of place for dogs to run. Yeah. Animals to run, yeah.
Is everyone responsible as well? Pooper scoopers and all that? As the carrier bags?
Most people are, but we have found when we've been clearing brambles and such, like people who have got there, they use their scoopers, they throw the bags, instead of putting it into the dog box, you throw it into the trees or throw it into the bushes. So when you cut down, you find plastic bags full of dog waste. That's not very good. Boxes are provided. Why not use them? It's easy, isn't it?
Bristol boy Pete, pull out three of these if you can, please, sir.
Three of these.
Straight in there. Straight, no messing.
76.
TV, a television programme you don't miss or you like to be in to watch.
Television programme I don't like to miss. Probably Julia Bradbury's Country Walks through the Lake District, and she's actually doing railway walks now. that's one I like to watch. And if I'm not about to see it, if I'm out rehearsing something, then I tape it, put it on the hard drive.
I was going to say, I bet it was something to do with Fresh Air or you know, or Britain. I can't imagine you getting drawn into those reality TV shows.
No, no, never watched one. No, don't watch them at all. No, we have been to the Lake District, and we do like walking. Both of us, my wife and I, like walking. So that's the sort of show I would record and watch.
It's terrible what's going on up there at the moment, isn't it? Cockermouth.
Oh, that's very bad. Yeah, some years since you were in Cockermouth, but the destruction is awful.
And the bridges, there's 1,800 bridges in Cumbria. They're all being checked, and you just can't.
That is a phenomenal. I've spent 50 years in the construction industry and allied services. To contemplate checking all those bridges is a phenomenal project. It really is going to take some time to do that sort of work.
Second ball, Pete, what have we had? You put them into your pocket then, big man.
I did, yes.
They're not worth anything.
Number 48. You can have 76 back then. Number 48.
Public transport.
Oh, yeah.
Do you use it?
I do. Regularly now I'm a retired man.
Well, give me your observations then. Which routes do you use? What's the service like?
The service, I just use it from here into town, because I went to town on a regular basis. We use it to go, I just go to Bath. It's excellent. The route we've got going from Bristol or from Hallam into town is what they call a showcase route. So you've got all these nice new shelters that tell you what when the bus is coming, what the bus number, how many minutes.
Yeah.
When it's due, it actually tells you it's due. And I find that now I don't need to drive so much. So I think that's great. I really
enjoy it. What is it, the 41 up here?
No, it's the 44 and 45 that comes across the top of here. It's very useful for us because it's 2 minutes walk to the bus stop and 2 minutes walk in town at the end. It's great.
And all free?
All free for us. Oldest, golden oldest. All free for golden oldest, yeah.
Thing is, you're not old, you know, what, 60, 65 is not old anymore, so you're getting these lovely little bonuses, but you've still got your health.
That's right. I'm quite happy with my health. Yeah, I'm 66, to be honest with that. Yes, it's a good bonus for us. And we don't use the cars. I always had company cars, so it was never something I ever thought about. But now we've bought our own car, we don't have to use it so much. My wife can use it to take the grandson to play school and play groups and things like that. And I can use the bus to go down to town.
Happy days. Excellent. Final number, sir.
Number.
Oh, he's blowing a hoogie now. Troopers Hill on the bingo
my
balls.
My favourite number, number 5.
Well, we've done one of your favourite walks, from there where we can't see to over there where we can't see, but what somewhere else perhaps in Bristol that you
another
like to have
nice
a walk?
Walk? Yes, another nice walk we do quite often. We could do over there too. What we can do from here, we can walk from hill down the hill or round the back, down along the river, down to the river, and along the river, and that's a very nice walk. The Avon Valley Park, they call it. That's a very nice walk. And we can do that, walk along the river and come back over the hill and he'll miss. You can do that maybe 3/4 of an hour long. In the summer, it's lovely. And you can often go over into the beaches for a drink as well.
Oh, I was about to say,
you can't go wrong with that.
Oh, dearie me.
And the other walk we do quite fairly regularly in the summer is from Bitton Station, the old steamsters, locomotive shop, along the cycle track. Sometimes I take a bike along there, but quite often we walk. And it's a nice walk to walk out towards Keynsham. You can stop in the pub and have a drink or a bit of lunch. The Bird in Hand at Saltford.
Oh.
You can walk straight off, take your bike off, have a bit of lunch, and nice lunch, and then walk back. That's a nice little walk.
Pint of ale, perhaps?
Not usually, not a great drinker of ales. Rather keen on Scotland's favourites, but that's my little tipple.
It's been a pleasure. Cheers, Pete.
Thank you.
Who should we pick on next? Who remains?
I should make Kit come out.
Kit
next.
It's
nice and cool.
It's Kit.
Yeah.
My main involvement over the past year has been helping a group of Duke of Edinburgh's participants to do their service section by getting involved in their local environment and helping it for the benefit of other people.
Now, they're not camping out for 3 nights or anything. Well, they're not trying to kill each other, like Prince Edward claimed that was all people did the Duke of Edinburgh for, just for a bit of danger.
Well, there is a bit of enthusiasm for the getting away from the restraints of normal day-to-day family life.
That's what it's about, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
You've got to get a bit muddy.
You've got to get a bit muddy. You've got to get away from the day-to-day run-of-the-mill rules and regulations and get out and see what is it like to be self-sufficient. But that's more about the expedition section that we're talking at the moment. Their service section is one of 4 sections to the award where they need to commit for a certain period of time for a minimum of an hour a week. For the silver section, these guys are committed for either 6 months or 12 months, depending on how they've tailored their award. So they've been coming out and committing themselves to give an hour a week of their time to develop their understanding of the environment and develop the footpath that they're building so that local residents can come walk their dogs, come out with the children and get into the woodland on the side of Troopers Hill where there haven't been such good paths as there are out on the grasslands.
And how do they react to that, building paths on this lovely, lovely lump that we look at?
They love it. They love it. They like getting out there. They've got the shovels, the pickaxes, the spades, the saws. They've got the electric drills and the iron rods to make everything really secure. They really like getting hands-on and doing things in a real environment rather than a sort of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Sanitised?
That's the one.
The world we live in, it's all PlayStations and X Factor and, you know, easy
come,
easy go, isn't
it? It can be for a lot of children, it can be. And I think that's one of the great things about the ward. It gets them out of their comfort zone and working with people that they've not met before in age groups and societal groups that they don't necessarily have any involvement with day to day. And it develops their confidence, it develops their self-esteem, it gives them communication skills, it helps them to learn how to work in different teams and understand how different factions in society interlink.
So do you do volunteer schemes all over the place, Chris? What's your bread and butter?
My bread and butter? Well, I got into the Duke Edinburgh's Award Scheme through teaching, and I was doing the coordination of the award for the school that I was working in. And then in addition, I was running this section on Troopers Hill as an extra bit because I happened to be involved already. It was something I could offer the children to fulfil one of their sections. But there are thousands of people around Bristol that are opening opportunities for Duke Edinburgh Award participants to fulfil their award.
Friends of Troopers Hill, is that true? Are you all actually friends? Is it a nice bunch?
People no, we're absolutely horrible. We hate each other. We fight.
It might just be the sin veneer. You know, you seem to be all pally.
No, it's a very friendly group of people. And I think the great thing is it's got a wide range of age groups as well. So sometimes when I've come, I've been the youngest person on the hill. And other times, people are bringing their children. There are other people that are in their 20s. But a lot of people tend to be sort of 50 plus. But we all get on because we've got something in common that we can all talk about and take a passion in.
You from Bristol?
I've been living in Bristol for the best part of 3 years, but recently moved to London.
It's amazing how you're coming from London to Bristol, though. You know, hanging on to a bit of the excitement and the panache of a big city, but then far more green spaces like this.
Well, actually, I mean, I was working in parks in London, in the Royal Park, so I've had a good experience of what it's like to work in the natural environment within the inner city environment, so seeing the dichotomy of those two areas and how they can actually work together. But it is nice to come back to an area where it's easier to get in touch with nature.
Good stuff. Right, part three of these, the rain's coming, it's held
hello,
off for
Brighton.
a few moments. Right.
I have, number 21.
First car.
My first car was a red Vauxhall Cavalier. It was old when we got it. It was a car my dad bought for my mum, and she nearly killed him for it because it was huge and she hated it. She thought it was a tractor. We didn't. We thought it was great fun, especially knowing it was at the end of its life. We learned all sorts of things like how high you can bounce off speed bumps, when to brake to get the highest bounce over speed bumps, how fast it'll go with a tailwind, how quickly it'll stop with lots of people in it. We learned a lot from our first car. It was great. Right, 76.
TV. This has come out before. Pete wasn't a massive TV fan. Is there a telly programme you try not to miss?
No, I don't watch TV very much. I
don't
even have one.
You're another person.
I don't have TV.
All right, let's put this on this head. What percentage of the population, and I know this is obviously not a scientific guess, do you think don't have tellies? Because I've met about three or four people in the past week.
I reckon it's very, very few, and I reckon probably because of the people that you've been interviewing over the first week, maybe you've come across people of the same ilk. 5% of the UK population, maybe?
What about people who say there's nothing good on telly?
Oh, that's rubbish. No. There's loads of documentaries. There's loads of films. There is something to suit every taste. It depends on though people's working commitments and whether they're in at the right time to see them.
So that's why there's no point for you?
I move around too much. I don't get home sometimes from work until 10 o'clock at night, and the last thing I want to do is sit and watch television. I'd rather listen to the radio in the car on the way home, and then when I get home, that's my chill-out time. I don't want the telly on then.
Final answer?
Is number 33.
Oh, this is ridiculous. I don't think because the rules are the rules. 33 is a book you read more than once. It's just something that we've...
Lord of the Rings, I think, is a most fantastic book. And although I don't remember much of the history now, I remember studying at school the links between World War I and J.R.R. Tolkien's experiences in the Somme.
and how that influenced his writing the book, and the links between the Shire, where the hobbits came from, and his experiences in England and places that he particularly wanted to protect and that he felt a real passion for during the war. So I would love to go back and revisit the history of it and the interpretations and the parallels. But even if you don't know any of that history, as a story, I think it's wonderfully evocative, and it really pulls your imagination and just creates a fantastic experience.
Chris,
and the film's rubbish by comparison.
You're one of these people, inspirational and slightly annoying in the same way, because you're up to so many things. You've got your fingers in so many pies. You don't stop, do you?
Not much. No. Keep going and go out and find your interest. Don't expect to sit in front of the TV every night and wait for it to come to you, because it's not going to happen. You need to find a passion and follow it.
Chris, a joy to meet you. I know you're very keen to point out, and that's half the deal. You pull the bingo balls, you get to say what's happening on Troopers Hill.
Absolutely. Right, I would like to make sure that people are aware that on Sunday the 6th of December, there will be a film show and photo show of all the events that have happened on Troopers Hill over the past year. So if you were involved in the dog show or the Bugs and Beasties hunt, or if you went to the Music on the Hill concert, or any of the work parties and other events that have been going on the Hill, it would be a lovely opportunity to revisit those experiences and meet some new friends, because there'll be people there that you might not have met that might have very similar interests to you.
I'm Keith Elliott, and I'm the Membership Secretary for Friends of Troopers Hill.
How many members at the moment?
Well, currently, the membership list is defined by the number of people we send the newsletter to, and that is around about 160 people.
Wow.
At the moment. So a lot of people get the information about Troopers Hill and keeps them up to date with what's happening.
Have you got a view like this from your look at the rain now? I knew, yeah. 3 out of 4 interviews we have carried out at the base of the hill, but now we've come inside to Susan's living room, which looks out onto the hill and the chimney there. You can just about make the chimney out, but
yeah,
it's getting bleak.
Almost disappearing now in the rain.
Presumably you prefer it in the summer.
Yes. Well, of course, as I think Susan probably told you, you get a terrific view from here of the changing seasons as the colours of the hill itself change. From where I am, which is a little further up the hill, we look out across the roof of the house in front, and we see a side profile of the chimney and the hill. Funnily enough, we moved in about 12 years ago, and when we bought the house, we actually didn't even notice the hill was there.
it was a
bonus.
Yes, it was a nice house then, obviously.
Yes, it is, yes.
So look at that, and that's horizontal. Mm. It is horizontal.
Well, you get the wind coming up the valley here. It's quite exposed, as you can see. You're looking straight west there, and that's, of course, where the wind mainly comes from.
Now, let's just get the sound effect of the rain on the patio door there, just to prove we're not being wimpish. you did put your day glow fluorescent.
Yes, I was all ready to go outside, but you wimped out.
It was me. Mm. What's your background, then?
My background?
Where's the accent?
Oh, the accent. Well, I'm actually Irish. I come from Belfast, actually. But, funnily enough, most people automatically diagnose my accent as being West Country, which... until I moved here 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I beg your pardon, I'd never actually been to the West Country. So the accent is just what happens to be picked up in the years I lived in London and various places.
Yeah, it's really distinctive. Nice. People must compliment you on it.
They do, actually, yes.
What you're saying.
Funny enough.
And you were involved in all the media and films and...
I am, yes. I started with the BBC. How many years ago was that? 39 years ago? It's quite a long time ago now. But I've been in, freelance working in the media since 1978, so I make videos, basically, one way or another, either directing, producing, editing, filming, whichever, and I make most of the videos that you see on our website here, Friends of Troopers Hill.
Brilliant. So anyone can log on and see those?
Yes, absolutely. You don't need to sign up or anything. Just go to the website and click through to the videos. I think it's called Video Project, isn't it? Because there's supposed to be a long-term project we're working on. And it is long term.
Look at that. Now, what's your favourite part of it, the hill?
Of the hill?
Yeah.
Favourite part of the hill? Well, there's so many different parts of it. I would probably say the woods, I think, because you can almost get lost in there. I mean, you wander off the path and it takes you a while to find your way back again, basically. And you find lots of new paths and things that we think the deer and various wildlife make, the paths that weren't there before, basically. I that with very little kids, I'm not quite sure which, but we had the Music on the Hill event, which is always very popular at the end of June. We've done that for about 3 years now in a row. We had to cancel it 1 year because the weather was just like this. The end of June, hey, there you go. The first year we actually coincided with, I think it was the World Cup Eliminator when England went out, I think it was, yes. So nobody turned up for it. I don't know if you recall that one. It went to penalties,
Like they always do.
Nobody turned up till about 7 o'clock and then everybody flooded in. So it was a beautiful evening, though. So that's always a very popular thing, and that's usually the last Saturday in June or thereabouts. And one of the other big ones that we do every year is the, well, we've done twice now, the Family Fun Dog Show, which we do on the field behind Troopers Hill here. It's part of, we like to try and engage with as many people as we can, from not just from this local community, from all over Bristol. So we publicise these things, we stage these things, hopefully get people along. And the dog walkers in particular are good people to engage, because many of the dog walkers are probably the biggest group that use Troopers Hill, I think. Any time you look out, you'll see people walking dogs on the hill. Okay, not right now, perhaps, because it's chucking it down. But as we've been sitting here, well, you were outside talking to Susan for half an hour. We were watching dog walkers enjoying the view in between the rain showers. But one of the things they do, which is extremely helpful and useful, is they're very, very good at picking up litter and rubbish. Very often our council parkie will find by the dog bins, bags or rubbish, etc., that the dog walkers, as they're going around, they pick it up for us, which is excellent.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So we're very keen to encourage them and to engage with them.
Right, here we go. Three of these, please, sir.
Right, well, I've got one already, of course, which is number 41, and I firmly believe you make these up anyway.
It's your hobby away from filmmaking or, you know, running the membership at Troopers Hill.
Geocaching. Yeah, I thought they were going to get that look.
Geocaching.
In the year 2000, the American government increased the accuracy of GPS devices, so it went from being several hundred accuracy of several hundred meters down to about 2 meters, you know, on a good day. And if you go to the site www.geocaching.com and put in your postcode there, here for instance, you will find that there are 20 geocaches hidden within about 1.5 mile radius of here. And a geocache, typically, there are many types now, but a geocache typically will be a little plastic box that is hidden somewhere, and all they do is publish the coordinates. You go and find the go to the coordinates using your GPS device, and then with a bit of luck comes the treasure hunt, and you find the little plastic box. Nothing of any value in it apart from a logbook and a few bits and pieces, like the sort of thing you might get in crackers, for instance. You'll sign the logbook and then log it on site, and you build up your collection of how many geocaches you find.
So who puts them there?
Anybody who cares to join the geocaching community. They're all over the world. There's about 800,000 of them around the world now. They exist in Iraq, they're in Uzbekistan. I've checked on these purely because I was writing an article on it once. But when we go on holiday, we went to Madeira a little while back. We went geocaching there. There's about 70 on Madeira. We have great. It's great fun because you can take the kids along. They love the treasure hunt aspect of it. Some of them are. You can take, you know, wheelchairs or buggies and things on. There is actually one within about half a mile of, well, there's one on Troopers Hill, actually, just in the woods.
Any in Totterdam, where I'm from?
Oh, well, there's bound to be, but yeah. I'd have to go and look up the website to check exactly
Geocaching.com.
Where. Geocaching.com. Geocaching.com, yeah. Recommend it as a hobby.
What an answer. Right. I'm glad that one fell out of the bag.
Well, I won't look. Here we go. Number 5.
Soundtrack of your life. A record, if you were stuck in a lift, you wouldn't mind it on loop.
It would probably be, I think, be Dire Straits, and it would be Telegraph Road.
Any particular time it brings back in your life? Well,
it is happiness. I probably got very familiar with it round about the time I met my wife, so there's obviously fond memories there, basically, but I just love the chords, I just love the music.
If we find it, we might play it for you.
That'll be very nice.
And the whole of the Troopers Hill Friends group.
Oh, of course.
Even if they don't like Dire Straits.
Absolutely.
Tough luck, they didn't pull the ball out, did they? Final ball.
Well, Susan just said she does have the album here, so we'll have that on afterwards, yeah? Okay. Right, last ball, here we go. 16.
Any sporting allegiance at all? Originally from Belfast, now.
I am. So it would actually be the Irish rugby team.
What was it? No, they beat Fiji, didn't they?
I can't remember now.
I think
it was a good match, though, when they won.
Were you geocaching whilst you were watching their rugby?
No. I think it might rather spoil the idea, actually, wouldn't it?
And let's finish on a thank you, shall we? And life wonderful when people are nice to each other?
Absolutely. Well, there's of course several outfits we'd like to thank. We get grants from various organisations. We got a grant recently from the PCS Union, which is going towards buying art materials. When we have some of the events on the hill, we have a craft tent, so the kids love that. They come along and spend hours painting and spreading glitter and glue around. I wouldn't like to have to wash their clothes afterwards. But probably in terms of local support, the best support we get of all is from Beezer's Bar and Tea Garden, which I think you know.
Well, I think I know because you beat the Radio Bristol team
exactly
in the quiz.
We are the champions.
Has there been an inquiry into that one or not? Was it all fair? It wasn't like the Thierry Henry goal or anything.
I heard there was a suggestion of foul play, but given that somebody, given that I think a certain party's organised the questions, not us.
Well, only one round of it. I suppose you could have put forward five questions about the hill. Yeah,
well, you were unlucky, of course, that the last round was on narrowboat, wasn't it, Barry Paul? Correct. And of course, Susan, our chair, they have a narrowboat, and along with my wife, who was there because I wasn't there myself, we love waterways and narrowboats. So you were.
Yeah, well,
some
questions about
on
ones up north, I seem to remember, wasn't it?
But Beezer's, they have a beer festival every autumn, and from the proceeds of that, they split half the proceeds between ourselves and Friends of Eastwood Farm, which is Eastwood Farm is another local nature reserve alongside the Beezer's Bar and Tea Garden, and give it to us. And this year we received £530 for them, which is going to guarantee that next year, weather permitting, we will be staging the Music on the Hill concert and the dog show again, probably.
Look forward to it. I might have a dog by then, to Wednesday.
Well, we'll expect to see you.